Welcome to the Concordia Publishing House podcast, where we consider everything in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm your host, Elizabeth Pittman. As we try to seek peace by our own efforts, we're going to come up short every time. But God has provided us with a peace that passes all understanding. Our guest today is Dr. Dan Pavola. Dan is the author of Peace Came to Earth, the 2023 Advent and Christmas Preaching and Worship Series from Concordia Publishing House. As Dan shares with us today, we will see the different ways that Jesus brings us peace from God. And this is the true peace from our Prince of Peace. Before we start our conversation, I'd like to thank our friends at the LCMS Foundation for their support of the podcast. How can your congregation turn significant financial gifts into a long-term funding source that blesses your church for generations to come? The LCMS Foundation was created to provide professional investment services to our LCMS churches, schools, and RSOs. They've helped hundreds of congregations create, manage, and grow endowments using investments tailored to each congregation's unique goals and needs. And now they'd like to help yours. Learn more at lcmsfoundation.org/podcast. Turning now to our conversation with Dr. Dan Pavola. Dan, it's so good to see you again. Welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, it's so nice to visit with you, Elizabeth. It's always a joy, and we'll say hello to everyone who's watching us and thank them for coming.
Absolutely. And I think this is going to be a fun conversation today as we talk about Advent, and specifically the topic of the Advent series that you wrote for 2023 Advent Christmas, Peace Came to Earth. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the overview of this. And I love everything that you write has a really tangible metaphor. And what's your metaphor, your illustration in this series that we'll get to dive into?
Sure. Well, we use a star. And I think it's pretty natural that Christmas begets that image of the Christmas star. And so we're going to use the 5 points of the star to guide us through the steps. Typically, Advent services have 3 Advent services and a focused Christmas service. We're searching for peace. How do you define peace and where are you expecting to find it? We're going to let each point of the star take us to one of those searches. But of course, the good news is that God knows exactly what we're looking for. He has a better, more complete answer than any we would find. And in the end, this is the Christmas one, of course, we find true peace in the treasure that's laid in the manger, the Savior is born. So we work our way around the 5 points and we end up centered in the manger.
But I think it's such a wonderful topic because in our world today, whether it's in our family lives and our local community or when we look nationally, people are hungry for peace. They're thirsty for it with everything that happens. And so what a refreshing way to spend the Advent Christmas season of diving into the true peace that Jesus brings.
Yes. And it's irregardless of age situation. My experience is that it must be the, if not the number one request of God, give me peace and your peace, an enduring peace. And so let's hope that this helps people find that in what is often an unpeaceful time, those rushed weeks just before Christmas and the crush of Christmas itself.
Well, just as an overview of the series, every year we have our Advent Christmas sermon and worship series. So tell us a little bit about the different components, the technical components that are part of this that you worked on, and then we'll dive into the meat of the matter with the discussion of peace.
Sure. You know, probably the sermon series is itself the 1, 2, 3, 4 bedrock of what we're dealing with. And there's both a sermon study for those who want them. They want the facts, they want some insights, but they're maybe going to be inclined to doing it their own way. And I understand that. And then, of course, there's a complete sermon based on those sermon helps for those who say, all right, I'm going to go with this. And I fully expect them to nuance it to fit their congregation and people. But so a sermon study and the sermons, 4 of them marching us on the way. We have children's messages that go along with, of course, the sermon series. And I think Advent's a wonderful time. If you don't regularly have children's messages, boy, this is a great time to introduce it or at least to have it in that place. So those go on. There's the, I'm just holding it right now. We've got the daily devotions. There we go. We're both armed and ready on that one. Daily devotions, December 1 through January 6, Epiphany. And again, as you would guess, the message is peace again and again. I just happen to open up to December 3rd. Fear not, the kingdom is yours. These words of peace that come in that one. And then Bible studies. I'm sorry, I knew I left one out. The Bible study series also mirrors the focus, the worship series. We can go either way. You know, some congregations have the Advent service is late enough that you do a Bible study before. Many cases, I know it would be the standalone Bible study that might be Sunday, whereas the Advent service is going to be typically Wednesday. So to the wisdom of the congregation leaders, when to put that, there they are. And Elizabeth also, just bringing back my memory, I didn't do this, of course. The nativity scene that CPH has is just magnificent. But you can speak to the origin of that. I had conversations with Laura Lane about it, but I think there's some history to it.
There is some history. There is some history. We found a vintage nativity scene that was originally published in the early 1900s, and I'd have to check my facts, but it sold for $1, $2 in the early 1900s. But it was gorgeous, and we came across this on eBay. I think we found a set, and we realized just how beautiful it was. And we wanted to bring it back. And so we brought back a reproduction of that this year, and it's available. We'll link to it in the show notes. It's gorgeous and just a really neat vintage nativity that you can have in your home to with children or without, just to have the scene there and be reminded of it as you do your Peace Came to Earth daily devotions.
Well, it really is wonderful. I'm just thrilled that they have that. And so I think that's the major events that are going with our theme of Peace Came to Earth. So
no, it's a wonderful series, and the daily devotions are lovely, a neat way to bring this into the daily life. But that's enough of the specifics of it, Dan. Let's talk about the star and how the star can help point us to peace. And so we'll start with the first point.
Well, the idea of the star, and I wish, you know, we were like at a class. I guess my life is so much a class. I would hand out a blank piece of paper and say, draw a five-pointed star. And I don't know how you do it, but I would go, I start in the lower left corner. I go up, stop, wait, down, stop. There you go. Absolutely. You are it. Well, the point is that every point has a stop. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take that as far as you want. Look, we're going up to that top, and then stop, wait, stop. That's far enough. Mm-hmm. Go down and begin a new direction. It seemed to me that each one of those lines, that first half of a point, is our pursuit of peace. And we want peace in our own defined manner. We seek it in our own strength. And God intersects with us and says, all right, that's enough. And not that it's hopeless, useless, but stop. I'll bring you that peace. I'll provide what you're looking for. He knows exactly what we need, and he provides that which we're seeking time and time again. So that's really what we do with the first point. God meets us. Second, there's two of them. Third, they're at the bottom. And then the fourth one is the treasure found in the manger. And again, using all the pieces of the star.
Let's dive deeper into point number one.
Point number one. Well, if I only had enough, if I only had enough, I would have peace. Now, I know that sounds a little childish, and maybe only children really seek peace in Christmas and having enough stuff. But, you know, I think a few adults probably go on that same thing. And again, it's the nature of the world around us. Christmas is accumulating, gathering. More is better. And that is a trajectory where, again, that star going up, 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 that needs God to say, wait a minute. All right. I know where you're going. I know what you're seeking, which is an abundance. But God says to us, remember, there's great gain in godliness with contentment. While you're pursuing enough, God is offering contentment. And the connection for Christmas is going to be the Magi. And here they come with their treasure. Do they have enough? Oh, obviously they're relatively rich men, but what treasure did they find by, of course, we're looking now upward in the Christmas star and the child that they found, and they gave their treasures and had more than enough. They had a contentment and a joy, not in an ever rising gathering. Their contentment and joy was in finding the Savior, and treasures were left there, were found there. So that's an easy one, I think, and I hope it links up with people saying, oh yeah. Christmas is seeking more and more, and we've already been given the more in that, you know, gift of the wise men, finding the Savior as he is. So that's sermon number one, point number one on our star. We just use the one point, and thereafter we're going to have two and two for the next two sermons and studies.
So as we go out to the next two, tell us where we go.
Well, peace is getting away. This is distance. So we're on the horizontal arms of our cross. I'm drawing my cross and such. I mean, come on, you can't be a part of a large family. And there isn't a moment where you want to define peace as I'm
out of here.
Over there. Exactly. Peace is found at a lake or I don't care where you are, but just, whoa, time to go. Mm-hmm. Time to be by myself. And it's location. So peace is a place, probably by myself. Also, peace is distance from my past. That's the other arm. Because when you have all those people, all the relatives, all the friends, all the people you're co-working with, do they remember their past? And does that past pursue us at times? And we feel it does, even if no one brings it up at the gathering or in the family. We feel pursued by our past, and we would love to, again, distance ourselves from that. So our double theme here is get away, distance, whether it's that perfect lake that I can run to, or it's just we don't talk about that. We don't mention that time, that episode in our past. But here's the good news. God finds us. He finds us not in our distance, but he finds us in place. And in the sermon on this one, we use Jesus asleep in the storm on the boats, asleep in the boat on the storm. And the disciples are desperately trying to get away from the storm. They're desperately, I'm sure, second guessing whoever said this was a good idea. Oh, there's guilt and blame abundant, I'm sure, in that boat at that time. And where do they find peace? Not in the journey that they can't fulfill, and not in the mistakes, the past that it might be still filling the boat. They find peace in a peaceful Savior who's asleep. That mystifies them. And they ask those wonderful questions. Don't you care? But he does. And his peace is at the ready. And he would ask us that wonderful question. Why are you so worried? Why are you so upset? Oh, of course, peace comes. He silences the storm. That's a wonderful thing. They finish their journey. That's all good. But aren't we invited in these week and now this second week to find our peace with a Savior who, because everything hasn't changed, might appear to be asleep, but he's not. He's the Savior who knows exactly what we need. And we come to him. And I think we would change Peter's question, don't you care, to, Lord, we know you do care. And let us find our peace with you, even as the storm goes on. So that's that horizontal. And I think the distance imagery works and the defining peace in a way. It's almost like those, remember those old Southwest Airlines ads where some social faux pas happens and they said, you want to get away?
Get away.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That was like a really good idea.
Well, yeah. It's putting us, we're acting as though we can find our own peace. Like if we run far enough, if I go spend enough time outside in the hammock by myself, I can find the peace that I need, and it's not going to happen. It might be fleeting, but it's not going to be genuine and lasting.
No, it won't. And you could find that place, you know, total isolation, the hammock, the whatever. The only problem is you brought yourself with.
Your head.
That's it. And you and I, we are all the own destroyers of our own sought peace. So you can't run far enough that you don't come along with. And so there's the horizontal challenge of peace. Then we go to the bottom two. Now the bottom two are let the weight rest on me. Let the weight come here. All right. There's no escape. Right, we've got that. And all the stuff in the world might not be enough. All right. Christmas is getting closer now. Now we're getting serious because it's only a few days away. So let that weight rest on me. That's a double header. Number one, this is for those who say, all right, I'll be in charge. I'll be responsible. I'll set the schedule and tell what's going to happen. And number two, we'll have peace if you people all do what I tell you. I mean, isn't that that's a 1-2 step that many a family has tried to pull off, isn't that? You know, now there could be competing, let me be in charge people in a given family or congregation or workplace, wherever. But most of us sometimes think, all right, I know how this should work. Just I'll do it. But remember, follow me. And one of the images I use is if a circus ringmaster who's got all these people and all this going on. Hopefully they're listening. I'm not sure that's always the case. But where do we go with that? All right, that so that we're seeking peace in responsibility and you know what we're planning and intending to do. Well, again, good news. You know, I think this is where God finds us, and our real text is the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. We have this wonderful lasting peace who really did let the weight rest on him. So we do a little Isaiah. Both the promise, chapter 9, of course, but also we find the one who's willing to let the weight rest on him. Our peace is not just the promise of a Savior, but the weight-bearing Savior who let the sins and weight of the world rest on him. Whether they knew it was happening or not, of course, we didn't know, but God rested on him all the weight of the world. So he really is our atlas, our spiritual carrying the world. And if we think we can bring peace by our being responsible, our being the weight bearers, give that load up to someone else who truly can carry it. So that's the third set, the two pieces going down.
Well, it's a nice reminder that for those of us that may like to try to control everything about it, you know, and to be that ringmaster, there's such freedom and just when you let it go, Jesus is still there. He's still bringing peace. And that's where you can rest in that. And all the hustle and bustle and hubbub is all well and good, but it's not, in my opinion, it's not worth the stress. And the fact that you take your eyes off of why we are celebrating and looking forward to Christmas. So
exactly. We have best laid plans, don't we? Is there a time in that doesn't reflect that wonderful poem, the best laid plans of mice and men have come to naught but grief and pain. And says, but he's foreseen that and says, I know your desperate attempt to be in charge, to take that responsibility. He says, you can't do it. Mm-mm. Either you can't bear it or they're not listening to you.
Right.
So either way, let me carry that load as the Prince of Peace, who carries the sins of the world. So Isaiah carries the day for us on that one. And so now we've used all five pieces, but we still have Christmas left.
I was going to say that we're not done.
No, we have to say something about Christmas, good heavens, and such. So as I was playing with the star and highlighting, and as they purchased the materials, we have a five-pointed star, of course, and we've in blue, Advent blue, we've highlighted each one of our sections. Well, the last one was, again, highlighting the top, but then coming down, and by golly, it looks like a diamond, at least to my eyes. It looks like there's a diamond using the very top of the cross and then the corresponding lines within. And that which is left out sure looks like a manger. So with a little artistic license, I think we can say there's a diamond laid in the manger. And Elizabeth, one line I like, I suppose I wrote quite a few words and lines, but what I do like is that peace is not a needle hidden in a haystack. It is a diamond laid in the manger. That's not too bad.
No, I think that'll preach.
Well, I hope so. If I was in class, that's one that if I came to, I would stop And I'd repeat it and I'd say, now write that down. This is about the only good thing you're going to get today. So that and coffee. So write that one down. Okay, Dr. Paola. What was it again? Okay, third time.
So for the benefit of repeating it.
Oh, yeah, right. There's value in repeating. Yes, exactly. But anyway, I think that kind of sums it up. We have sought peace as this, very elusive needle in an endless haystack. And that works for me as a farm boy who I know haystacks and straw stacks. But it's not. We don't have to find it. It's been found and it's laid in full view in the manger. And, you know, we were talking about the nativity set, Elizabeth. This is the time when that nativity set really comes out. I would hope that when these sermons are done and Bible studies, that is a time especially to say, so where do we find peace? I mean, a three-year-old should know this one. Well, right there. That's where he is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful illustration. And I think it's going to be a lovely series for all of our congregations that are using it. And even if your congregation is not going through the sermons, the devotions will take you right through this journey and pointing to peace the whole way along. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for just I'm anticipating the refreshment and the rest of resting in that true peace that this will bring.
Well, thank you. I hope it is helpful. I hope it invites people to do something new, some occasion that they value. I'll tell you a story from CPH Publishing long ago. When I was parish pastor up in Butternut, Creative Worship told us to do something special on Christmas. And I don't remember the year, but I know I was a dutiful follower of those wonderful directions. And it said, you've got the nativity scene up front. So on Christmas morning, gather on the last song up front and sing the last song, Joy to the World, I think it was. So we did. Well, yeah, because let's face it, Christmas morning is not the crush that Christmas Eve is. So we had a manageable amount, maybe about 100 people. And we did. We got up, which is, I mean, really, I got Lutherans out of their chosen pew to go forward, not back. I was counting my blessing. So we all did, and we sang there. And I went to the back, and I thought it was like a living nativity scene, but we didn't bring in cows or anything like that. And so as people are walking out, of course, it's Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. There was an older gentleman who walked with a cane. He was just a wonderful man, but, very serious, serious. Walked with a cane. And I made him leave his comfortable pew and go all the way up there, you know, because we all did. And he shook my hand. He said in a very serious voice, you know, Pastor, you had us all get up there and go to the front. And I'm this close to apologizing. I'm ready to say, oh, I'm so sorry. We will never do that again. We should do that every year. And he walked off. Elizabeth, would you agree? You got to love church people. How do you not love church people? Because just when you think you got them figured out, they go on you on a different way. And all I can say, we will.
We'll I think do it again.
Thereafter. Oh, because he told us to. That was good. Because if you didn't like it, I didn't. It wasn't me. It was CPH. And his name was Rudy, by the way. CPH and Rudy.
We like Rudy.
We love Rudy. So we hope that this series gives you occasion for both the familiar things, maybe something a bit new. Bring the nativity scene all the more into, you know, history come to life. Let's hope that works for people. It's been a joy to do it with, as always, the folks at CPH are just the most wonderful people to work with. And it's a privilege to share a project with you all.
Well, we've enjoyed working with you on many, many projects, and we have more to come. As we wrap up, what last piece of encouragement do you have for our listeners as they prepare to focus on the true peace?
We surely look for peace every day. We have our self-defined measure of peace. I'll be at peace when or if, finally. God meets us in each one of those pursuits. He understands what we're looking for. He also understands that left to ourselves, we won't find it. And in each of those pursuits, he says, now stop. Listen to me. I'll give you something even more and better. And we make a point and a point and a point and a point and a point. And that creates that star that reminds us of the peace that came at Christmas.
Beautiful. Listeners, we'll link to the program in the show notes, Peace Came to Earth. The complete series includes sermon series, Bible study, worship planning, children's messages, daily devotions. Encourage you to take a look at any of the components that would interest you and that would be beneficial for you and your family and your congregation. So, Dan, as always, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's a joy.
Listeners, till next time. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Concordia Publishing House podcast. I pray that this time was valuable to your walk with Christ. We'd love to connect with listeners on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Concordia Pub. Visit cph.org for more resources to grow deeper in the gospel.